Dearest, this is his full name. You continue on the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 1 to 49. The image of God.
Let's just pray that we can take the text of the failures of the Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, today we come before you, we ask you to speak and speak words in your mouth. So we'll be there is a lot of things that we can deal with today. And we want you to speak words you are individually at the global level. At the end of this session, we will one step closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you are wondering this created an AI, any of the slides which has no acknowledgement of the source that is included. So I'm very happy with this one. Now, one major concern I have for Christian living in Singapore is basically around that, you know, things are going so well because there's no fear, nothing. That in my example, like, for example, in the US, we don't go to certain streets, we probably are safe. So, what I would do to the Christian way of course to life is whether we overcome and the trials and tribulations that come up. This is very concerned because in chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, we deal with the situation where Daniel 3 had a book through. Fiery trial, they have no choice. But now their choices, when you close it to the end, you have no choice. It was crazy. Yeah, because the whole world is like this. Yeah. So, what will we do in those situations? I think that is a question we're going to answer in chapter 3 of the book. Now, this is one way to look at the entire book of Daniel. This is a literary structure of Daniel. The theme is this unifying and dominant idea of the Bible book is that God shapes the world kingdom and brings his people home. And talk about it in chapter 9. This is a very important thing that we look at in terms of the way we approach life as well. Yeah? In Daniel 1, we talk about Daniel and his friends who tested, they qualified, and allowed to practice the Jewish faith, which is the method, which is the basically the diet, the kosher diet. In chapter 2, Daniel was tested by Nebuchadnezzar, being an interpretation of dream. He was qualified and also he was promoted. Now in chapter 3, Daniel's friends were tested by fire, they were also qualified and turned promoted. So this Jewish kids basically they threw down the gauntlet and said, "What is my challenge to you? Yeah, we won't be afraid, and then we'll read the text later on to learn of that exactly what they say." Now there are two tracks that they follow. One is they follow Daniel and his three friends, talk about the faith and way of life in Babylon as what we call the followers of Jesus Yahweh. But we can also go through another track, which is Nebuchadnezzar's encounter with Yahweh from unbelief to faith in Yahweh. So we will follow the second track from this chapter onwards until chapter 4. Now we have seen this map in the last session in a different way. Today I want to share with you the Fertile Crescent, which is shaded in blue, which is basically the Babylonian economy. Why this is important? Because the economic activity in this area is very hard. So there are crops, animals, and trade. And the important verse I want to show you is Genesis 10, verse 22, which I'm going to read to you now. The sons of Shem were Elam, And I'm sure with the Syria, Al Bashar, which is the Chaldean, that is very long, and Lut, Libya, Naram, which is Syria. So where does Abraham came from? He came from the northwestern area of Syria, so he is an Aramean. Now, when we look at the different wars throughout the entire book of Daniel, you will look at all these sons who actually fighting against one another, their descendants. Very interesting, isn't it? So when Syria conquered the northern kingdom, it is Ashur versus Aram. When Babylonia conquers Judah, there is Arphaxad versus Aram. Okay? So this is ongoing, and even now. But this is not surprising because of the confusion of languages and faith. So we'll do a little bit of history here in terms of the languages. After the confusion and faith. So we'll go with the chronology again. Look at the chronology, need to copy. And you see that 243 BC is Noah's flood. And they were speaking one language. I call it the Adamic language. Until Nimrod City, they're still speaking this language in one town. Number, the Supertango. Then Tower of Babel came. Languages are complete. There were 70 tribes from Abraham, and they become 70 languages and 70 geographies. Now, there are people, good scholars, they say Nimrod is actually Sargon, but it's not the case. You follow the chronology carefully. Unless you condense the chronology, then Nimrod will become Sargon, but you don't have to do that. So, then you have Abraham in 21:32 BC, and he speaks Aramaic. Now, you probably remember Genesis 31, verse 42, is one through. And there is one Aramaic word in that particular verse which Jacob spoke of. Laban spoke about it. So Laban is Aramaic, first from northern Syria. Then we go down to 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar conquered the entire area except Egypt to come later. So Aramaic and Akkadian becomes the languages of the Babylonian Empire. They continue until the Persian Empire. So the Arameans were a group of Western Semitic people, which is the north of around Syria. So Aleppo and Haran are your benchmark proxies. Abraham is the brother of Nahor and the grandfather of Aram. So that's the reason for that language, and it's so important for the Hebrews, because they changed to Hebrew later on. But Aramaic and Hebrew are very close. They use the same letters, pronunciation different, the words are a little different, the grammar. In Deuteronomy 26, verse 5, Jacob himself is described as a wandering Aramean. So Jacob spoke two languages, but as he decided to, after the battle of the angel, he wanted to go back to Canaan, the promised land, so he decided to speak. Now, this map is really about the arrows, which are the trade. So you have Persia trading to Babylon, including the Babylonian Empire, with the people from the European area. The arrival by ship, whether one of these tracks, don't know, that's the way they do trading. Because of this trade, they have different languages all mixed up. So I'm going to show you, Pastor, a little bit about the Greek world word from the Greeks, which I'm going to went to the third lesson. First, I'm going to show you some loan words from Persia for the royal court. Only a few words, maybe 15 of them, a few of them are shown here. These loan words from Persian literature would be royal titles and related terms. So the six of them on the screen for you has to do with the calling of these people, satraps, which are provincial governors, the decree or edict, which you call now is executive order, official counselor, another word, what would be another word, nine, another word. And your control of set. So you're going to learn by heart here, just to know that loan words in Arabic from Persian. And this is a list of loan words from Greek for the musical instruments they use, because we're going to touch on musical instruments today. So I'm going to show it to you later on. Because of these loan words, there are this group of liberal theologians. They say, therefore, Daniel is written not in this time, but written after the Greek Empire. So when everything is fulfilled, they read as a historical narrative instead of as a prophecy. So these theologians are completely wrong, because the word, the first one up there, Kisala, is a word that you can find in Homer's poem, which is Iliad and Odyssey. So it's found that one there, and then the rest of it is found in the 6th century BC, you know, the Symphonia, the drum. That orchestra is in 6th century Greek, because they brought in the trade for the exchange of words, and so this is in. So the conclusion I want to give you very plainly is that Daniel used imperial Aramaic, consistent with the Aramaic of the populace in the trade in the barbarians. So there's nothing special about that. Now, I want to give some attention to the image, because we deal with the image corrupted today as a theme. So I think you've seen this before. So in chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis, you can read it this way, which is in sequence, and God created man in his own image, the image of God, created him, male and female, and created them. And so there are two inverted parallelism. He created him as an aircraft in the middle. Now, this literary device is also found in Genesis chapter 5, in which I just read this. Now the serpent was much more crafty than the beast of the field which Yahweh God has made, and he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it, and you shall not touch it, lest you die. So there is a talking animal called serpent, which is not yet a snake, which we know of because they still have four legs. Okay, not crawling yet. What is a talking animal in the Bible? In the donkey doesn't speak. Parrot, right? You train animal together. Look at this, those that we can find an animal that can talk, then you can train them. But the serpent was talking under the power of a small angel from himself. It's not, the word is not there in the Genesis, but you all know that animal doesn't talk. So he has to talk to somebody. Somebody is behind him, so he listens. So the fall of Lucifer in chapter 3, not chapter 1. The gap theory says chapter 1, verse 1, fall of Lucifer. Not a few. Verse 1 and verse 2 talking about creation of the earth and also heavens, that means there is give us a hint that the angel will create them in the heavens from. Now, the academics like William Lane Craig says this is before history, because science can explain better Genesis to the Romans. So, it's gone bonkers about this, and I'm not sure how it will answer to Lord when when it comes to it. Let's continue to verse 4 to 7. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for that's a lie. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took it from the fruit and ate, and she also gave also to some of her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed two things together and make themselves coverings. So this probably happened a week or a few weeks after the creation of Adam and Eve, very quickly, because Satan knows how well it is to do something about it. Before they set in the theology, and they were setting the theology. So perhaps even on the Sabbath, because God visited Adam and Eve in the garden straight away after the fall. So the Garden of Eden then was the first temple, a meeting place with men. From God's point of view, Adam was the first priest and king created in the image of God to exercise the dominion mandate. So on that day, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they suspended the image of God. Because in the image of God, they were created, right? We read in Genesis 1, verse 27. So Adam allowed Eve to talk and reason with the cunning animal, the serpent of the dragon, for their very good knowledge. Animals cannot talk, so Satan had to talk to it. He was Eve eventually scared. And Adam listened to his wife as well. So both of them suspended their image of God that they were created because they couldn't. They lowered themselves to the level of the animals. And so they lost their dominion mandate, which is important because this is the only mandate God given to Adam and Eve, and also to many other people that came back as well. Yeah. So God created the animals to be men's helpers, which Adam know that they were helping Adam. Not all the animals, some of the animals called the name doesn't. And so animals are not masters of human beings. So you treat your pen as a helper, not as in Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2, the chiastic structure of the creation of man is happened again here. It is a longer one, only one. So in the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, he created them, he made them female, he blessed them, he made them man. The day when they were created. So when you read in chapter 4, which is one chapter earlier, Cain committed a sin of killing his brother Abel. He also suspended the image of God when he was created. And in Genesis 5, God reminded humanity that humans were created in God's image, our likeness, which is also used as another word used in image. You'll see that in another verse in chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. So this is post flood. After the flood, God spoke to Noah and his family, and also all the animals around there that came of the ark. So this is the what you call the covenant that God made with Noah and his people, that is descended. Whoever sheds a man's blood by man, by blood, his blood shall be shed. And then in this summary, for in the image of God we made man. Right? As for you, be fruitful and multiply, sow on the earth and multiply in you. So you have this contrast of verse 6, which is about do not kill anybody, do not shed blood, not even shed blood, you brother said to kill somebody in this personal injury. But you're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. That is the contrast. So instead of taking life and create life, we're supposed to be. And that mandate is given to us even today. Now, so the image of God qualifies humanity to exercise dominion over the universe, creation. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 then. The idol worship in Daniel 3 indicates that the Babylonians suspended the image of God. So in polytheism, where you have worship, where people worship many gods, man's mind is limited to the idols and their god. But when they change and converted to a Yahweh follower in the Old Testament, then they practice again the image of God that God has given them. Let's now read the text and see how it works here for us. So Daniel chapter 3, you can open your Bible because I don't have any this thing on the side of you. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made the image of God, the height of which was 60 cubits and his width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, and the governors, counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the magistrates of all the rulers of the province will come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Then the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king was set up, and they were standing before the image Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the Herod loudly called out, "Who you may say, O peoples, nations, and men of any tongue, that at the time that you heard, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to bow down and worship before the image that Nebuchadnezzar came and set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples had heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue fell down and worshipped for an image that Nebuchadnezzar became concerned. Why did Daniel repeat all these words? He wants everybody to be sure to read it, that these words are actually true. So the entire Testament, New Testament was written in the first century, by 100 AD, I think it's close. All has been written for us to follow. So the question I had is, do trials and tribulations in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 apply to the modern church? Does it apply to us? Testai is a very strong word there. That means it is God's intent that we suffer trials and tribulations. So for those of us who are older and we try to manage our life, we have to care, we have to go to different doctors to see the way they diagnose our problems. Yeah. So this is part of the aging process. As we age, as our age getting up, more and more things are talking about. Therefore, we need sustain in some way. But there are a lot of things that we cannot sustain. Because there are no medication that is so advanced that can deal with some of the illnesses that cancer. So to suffer affliction, the Greek grammar indicates a present passive infinitive, and there's no time limit. Yes, they're for us. They're looking at the grammar of the words used. But how do we face trials and tribulations? Do you run away? Now the trials in Singapore, you can run away because there are other options. Big country, you can do. Go to the churches, give the organization, go to another organization, you can do that. But I suggest that you can do it because you have to be tested. So if you leave, for example, from one organization to another organization, there's a lot of solutions that are waiting for. Maybe the same way we probably will do soon. So don't run away, pray for God's help in the test. That's what Daniel 3:20. The tests are like exams, the reality check of where we are in Christ. So the tests come our way and we pass it. Well, we pass the test, God said he needs another test somewhere, which is in the future. So we are encouraged to rejoice in our situations, blessings, or tests. We have this sign for Parkinson's disease, so I'm not blaming God for it, but I know that I'm doing this one, I'm living it through for His glory. So every week has gone so quickly, and we are 1 week closer to the resurrection. The image of God. The image of God is basically mankind, man, female, and female and male. Man, usually a man is a generic word for male and female. In Daniel 1, Nebuchadnezzar worshiped the Babylonian gods. Ea, Marduk, and Vashtar, they have different names in their culture. They have the same kind of history. In Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar paid homage to Daniel because Daniel was connected to God, Most High Yahweh. Okay? So, a homage to Daniel because Nebuchadnezzar recognized that his God is much more powerful than being, and also being for him. So in chapter 3, what he did was he established a golden image to extend the Babylonian Empire, because the empire was going to be killed, going to be destroyed until the fourth empire, which you know still be standing, and then that is God's empire, right? So Nebuchadnezzar took the little petition to the heart and said, okay, now if I create gold, I will never be destroyed, my empire will live long. That's the reason why he did it. Now, the idol he created, the golden image, is very big. So I looked it up yesterday, the day before. And today's gold price, golden image is solid gold. It's sort of 27 meters tall and 2 to 5 centimeters. Why? It's valued at $4 billion today's price. It's a lot of gold. So when the army in those days go around and conquer people, they took all the treasures. So Nebuchadnezzar was destroyed in Jerusalem and went to the temple and collected the gold back to the treasuries in the temple, because God said, he's not to my gods. My gods won the war, so it's my turn to take the honor. You give it to my gods, the treasuries. Okay, now let's read the text. Daniel 3. Very good. For this reason, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and brought charges against the Jews. Looks like this. Verse 9. They answered and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, a flute, a lyre, the trigon, psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, do not pay attention to you. They do not serve your gods and do not worship the holy image of you set up. So these Chaldeans are probably the wise men, which we read in chapter 1. And I think they're probably very jealous of the progress and these foreigners over there, going to the Chaldeans, right? Babylonians should first and get any position, promotion, yes, in operation. Workers over the foreigners, right? But that's kind of thinking runs through with people. So they reported this non worship to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and wrath, said to him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not serving my gods and do not worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, then you shall fall down and worship the image that I have made. And if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace and blazing fire, and what God is there who can save you out of my hands?" That's a question. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar," didn't even say King Nebuchadnezzar. So they are not as diplomatic as they last read, right? And you did again in chapter 4, next session, that Daniel is made as a diplomat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to respond to you with an answer concerning this matter. Don't speak to the king like that. No? It is believed to be so. Our God, whom we serve, is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will save us out of your hand, O king." This is a challenge to the king. "And if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden image that you have set up, as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this world." So the challenge, they also ask God to protect, so I think that challenge to God, I'm saying it. Verse 19. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and the image of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The answer is said to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heat." 7 times more. "And he said to certain mighty men of valor who were in his military post to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of the blazing fire. Then these men were set up, were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their clothes, the other clothes, and they were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's word was urgent, and the furnace has been heated to an extraordinary degree, the flame of the fire killed those men who carry up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Interesting. Even before they were thrown in, or there's about the training, before the believers heated up and burned. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell in the midst of a fire of blazing, a furnace of blazing fire, still tired. We're getting more intense now. Mid-April. Just a bit of commentary on the baptism of fire, because John the Baptist said in 3:12, Matthew, 1 Corinthians 3:3, reference as well, Lord 3:7. "Punishment by burning is well attested in the ancient Near East, like the code of Hammurabi, which was taken by the Babylonian Empire as well. And burning as a form of execution by the practice of Babylonian movement." They read that in 2:6, which is read. Nebuchadnezzar executed two Jewish false prophets, to be fired and they have been fired. It's recorded in Jeremiah 29, verse 22. So Nebuchadnezzar judged the three friends of Daniel, but God saw it as a test of their faith, so that they come down and actually deliver them. Now, Christians are designed for testing, maybe by fire in the last days. So just a warning ahead of us. Verse 24. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and hurriedly stood up. He answered and said to his high officials, 'Was it not three men we cast tied up into the midst of the fire?' They said, answered and said to the king, 'Certainly, O king.'" Verse 25. "He answered and said, 'Look, I see four men loose and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods.'" son of man, basically, son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the furnace of blazing fire, answered and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Then the satrap, the prefects, governors, and the kings of high officials gathered around and saw in regard to this man that the fire had not power over the bodies of this man, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. So they had no smoke, no fire, nothing. They were basically as they were before they went into. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was sent his angel and saved his servant who put their trust in him, violating the king's word, gave up their bodies so as not to serve and not to worship any God except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that anybody, any people, nation, or tongue that says anything as offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver this word. Then the king calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to succeed in the province of Babylon. So they were re-established back in their position and become even greater as servants of Babylon because of Yahweh. Now let's look at the Nebuchadnezzar's worldview. Okay? In chapter 2, verse 46, it says that then King Nebuchadnezzar fell down his face and did homage to Daniel. Verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. So, Nebuchadnezzar paid homage to Daniel, basically to the God of Daniel, Yahweh the Muslim. In chapter 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Satan, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and saved his servants who put their trust in him. There is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. So he's equating the Daniel's God to this God, the same God, the Most High God. So it is there in the title. Now, Nebuchadnezzar responds to chapter 3 is different from chapter 2. Pay homage to Daniel's God, the Most High. That's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Nebuchadnezzar's belief worldview is this. Daniel's insight into a dream and interpretation is second to none, okay? Aided by the God of the Most High. Then, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was higher than the Babylonian God as well. That is his belief. Now, let us summarize what I've read so far in Daniel 3, verse 1 to 2. The outline is this, verse 1 to 7, challenge to faith. Conviction of conviction, courage of conviction is in verse 8 to verse 18, and 19 to 27 talk about the confirmation of God's presence and the change of God's, the king's worldview in 28 to 3. So, Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace is the text that we just read. And the challenge to the faith are 3 points here, ABC. The idol of the world. Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, the idol. Nowadays, we don't do this anymore. But it could be anything. It could be for health, could be finance, your money, your wealth. All these are part of the things that we call idols of the world. The demand for conformity, bow or burn. I hope in the last days we don't have to face this, and it will come that way. So there are Christians who does not make it for the same-sex marriage, they're being persecuted as well. People who pray against abortion quietly without uttering a word in the UK, they are also persecuted. Okay. So there are in certain parts of this world, the thing has come. The pressure of the crowd, everyone bowed except for David. It could be that way as well. So just make sure that we have the biblical worldview and not the new worldview of the world. The implication is what idols demand our compromise today. Is it the cultural pressures, fear of rejection, health, money, or illnesses? We shouldn't be let these things overpower us and then we lost the created image of God. Second, Roman numeral, which is on the courage of conviction. The accused for righteousness. The three Hebrews, therefore, are targeted for the inference, but they have an unshaken confidence. When nobody will answer you, Nebuchadnezzar, there's a beat to the moment. They do directions to Nebuchadnezzar. Faith beyond guarantees. God can deliver, and even if he doesn't. So that we can truly trust God's character and not just his deliverance. So there comes a point that you say, okay, you can die now. This is not what the three friends believe in. And they didn't give up their biblical understanding of Yahweh. The third point is here is the consolation of God's presence. The fury of a man versus the sovereignty of God in a heated furnace, bowed and thrown in with the furnace. Now it's interesting, there's a fourth person in the fire. This is God, Christophany, we call it, walks with them. Because Jesus Christ is given the universe without them. By the God of Father. And this was created, John said, in the beginning was a good, the word was God, and the word was God. So the whole universe today is the word of God, basically, because he's God us. Not even the smell of fire was upon the three bodies when he came up. So deliverance without compromise. There was this deliverance without compromise. The application was God doesn't always present us, but he promises his presence in Isaiah 43, verse 2. You can find it as well. There are many passages like this in the Bible talking about trials and tribulation. The last bullet point here, the known numeral point, is to change the God things, but the king's worldly dreams. A pagan's proclamation is Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges God. Yeah. In the exaltation of the faithful, promotions follow persecution. So he went through a tough assignment in the work area, and usually get promoted other regions. And it goes through it yourself. So my conclusion is this: standing firm in the fire, faith will be tested. Faith will be triumphant. God meets us on the fire. Faith is the testimony. But the world is watching how we behave as believers. Now, where was Daniel? You were not mentioned a lot in chapter 3. Was he on a business trip? No, because all the governors must come back and worship this image. Was he asked to be king, substitute king for 100 days, which is the Sapuhi ritual? So let me give you a bit of information about the so, the Sapuhi ritual. In a lunar and solar eclipse, which is about 3 times a year, which is also 6 times total, the substitute would sit on the throne for the king for 100 days. All the two kings went into the meeting. Thus, I believe the evil woman from the true monarch was substitute. Then, the substitute and his wife would be killed.
Yeah.
So I don't think Daniel would be the substitute. Now, was he then, was he that the most high God is respected and he was accepted? I think this is a likely, most likely, because the student tells him of Daniel. He, this is most terrible because the golden image is a derivative of the four metal empires from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So he explained to him, and then he worshiped this God that is the highest. Or acknowledgement of this God. So Nebuchadnezzar came home to Daniel's God and centered his participation. This God is the highest. When he's looking for another God, or the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether they are strong as the one, which is the same God, is strong as the other. Let me finish with this particular verse from 1 Peter 3 4. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And don't fear in often not in trouble. Because as believers, when we die, we have another life in heaven. You are not a believer, when you die, there is no other place to go except Hades, which is the lake of fire. So ask God for help in your sufferings, engage with someone, or the whole church here, we will stand with you in prayer as well. I'm sure that many of you are praying for me. Thank you very much. I have not changed yet. Let's change our vision. Now let's close the word to you. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for letting us Daniel's Jewish friends and the experience that we can learn from them to be in the trouble of this way as well in the last days. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.